On the Record with Gavin Riley on News Talk.
James Lawless is the Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North. He's a member of the Oireachtas Committee on Foreign Affairs. James, we'll talk to you in just a moment about the forthcoming appearance by Simon Coveney again and some of the issues that remain outstanding. But just to pick up on what we were discussing with John Moran a moment ago about the sums going into Housing for All, that the government is planning to try and deliver an average of 33,000 homes a year. And he says it's just simply not enough.
Yeah, good morning, Gavin, and good morning to your listeners. Yeah, I listened to John Moran there with great interest, and I follow him regularly. He's very authoritative on the subject, and of course, he's a history in the public sector, so he knows what he's talking about. I suppose you could summarise John's points in a couple of ways. He's afraid that the numbers won't be enough. And look, I suppose that's a fear that we all have, and that's, you know, in any big project, this is a colossal, this is an unprecedented investment in the history of the state. $4 billion being put into housing, the biggest ticket item facing this government. And the numbers, yeah, I think there's an average of 33,000. It ramps up over time. It gets to 40,000 by 2030. John Moran mentioned the cost differential. Mm. I think he said we could do some more of those units. We're kicking off. I think this is the first time a government housing plan has included any kind of cost differential. I think there's 15,000 possibly included in this, possibly more. We have a cross section. We've got social, we've got affordable, we've got private, we've got cost rental. We also have things like, and I'm as a commuter belt representative, Naas Town, for example, yeah. The above the shop living is something I'm really excited about. The derelict units, any of our main streets, if you walk down the retail high stores, mm-hmm. Look upstairs. In the old days, there would be one or two or three, either a house, a shop owner living upstairs, there would be apartments, and they're pretty much derelict at the moment. So they're going to be put into use. No, so I think we have a multi-pronged approach, and you know, we hope that they all collectively deliver. Sure, and if they don't, look, we tweak the plan as we go along.
Well, this is it, because nobody disputes that it's a multi-pronged approach, but if the government's plan is based on the arithmetic that there needs to be an average of 33,000 a year, and that's some estimate of how many new units you need every year. For every year you don't make up 33,000, you're going to be leaving more in arrears. And for the years that you only go over 33,000, you're only getting rid of the new arrears, but not the whole generation of it that's backed up. So surely it's incumbent on the minister to show us his workings and show us why it's based on 33 and not more.
Absolutely. You know, there's a Chinese saying, the best time to plant a tree is today, and the best time to build a house or lay the foundations is today or tomorrow, and that's what the minister is doing here. 33,000 houses is 33,000 more than were built before this plan was in existence. So look, this is kicking it off.
But if he's promising to eliminate homelessness by 2030 and his sums are wrong, then it's not a very good foundation.
Well, homelessness is a slightly different issue, and there are many complex reasons around that, and there is a particular strand of the plan to deal with homelessness. I don't think the 33,000 housing units correlate directly back to homelessness. Of course, there's a tiered issue because people are on the streets because they can't afford bedsits. People can't afford, you know, entry-level rent because they can't afford to get in the market to buy their starter home. They can't people in starter homes can't afford maybe to upgrade to family homes. And the normal kind of economic life cycle that people might go through, coming out of college, renting, maybe purchasing their first home, maybe having a family moving up, all of that is dysfunctional. And that hasn't been happening for the last decade. So that goes back. That's where homelessness comes in, because there's a certain cohort of people. And there's also, and I'd see it as a constituency politician, people who are not necessarily recorded as homeless, but are sleeping in front rooms, putting down mattresses at night time in the parents', you know, house, all that kind of stuff. But I think what John Moran is saying, put simply, is that he wants to see the figures. And look, I'm sure the minister will put all that before the Oireachtas. This is going through the Housing Committee. This is going before the Dáil. It's only launched last Thursday, so let's give him a chance. And he's been on every programme going, trying to get this out there.
But Leo Varadkar did tell his party's Ardesh back in the middle of June, and then he came on this programme, that the target was for 40,000 homes a year, and that was going to be set out in Housing for All. That hasn't happened. The Taoiseach told the Dáil on the 12th of May that the ESRI's target for 33,000 homes would probably actually need to rise to 40, and yet the plan is still to deliver an average of 33. Now, I take what you're talking about homelessness, but ultimately, if you want to deliver an equilibrium where there is enough housing for the people in the country and the sums are wrong, you're never going to get there.
Yeah, so I think what you do is you start at the first step, and there are economies of scale. And as I said, the numbers do ramp up in the plan. So we start with X number next year, we ramp up, and we get to 40,000 by the end of the plan. So, you know, you would imagine that as you get going, as the infrastructure that's part of this, you know, things like connections, water connections, road connections, where there's new greenfield, where new development goes in, there's infrastructure has to go with it, where there's brownfield, as I said, above the shop type stuff, there's incentives. And you'd fully expect that the first couple of years could be a little bit slower to get out of the blocks, but that you build momentum as you get going. And that's why you see it rising as the plan goes on. And I see no reason why that can't rise even more. You know, if the demand, I think, would certainly be there. The infrastructure will be there at that point, and there'll be, I suppose, economies of scale getting going at that point. So I think we're going to see that going. I just one thing John Moran said as well, I thought it was sort of ironic. he made a point about how the property stocks hadn't dropped the day the plan was launched. And I thought that was somewhat ironic. I mean, a $4 billion investment in property and in housing, you'd hardly expect property stocks to be plummeting at the eve of it when it's going to be the biggest boost to that entire sector. And one thing, going back to, I suppose, basic economics, John Moore is very knowledgeable, far more than I am on this. But bricks and mortar historically, over centuries, have actually held their own and gone on, you know, way above gold or commodities or currencies or any stocks and shares or anything else. Mm. Not necessarily good for society, but that's just the way the trajectory they've always gone on. There can be drops, as we saw in the bust, but traditionally Indeed. They recover. So I wouldn't be placing too much store on what property stocks were at last Friday or this Monday or indeed the next day.
I suppose we will keep our eye on where they go long term and exactly how this project continues as the shovels begin to hit the ground. We want to talk to you, though, about your role as a member of the Oireachtas Committee on Foreign Affairs, before which Simon Coveney is going to appear again next Tuesday. And certainly the committee's chairman, Charlie Flanagan, has written to him outlining a number of what he sees as inconsistencies or contradictions in what have arisen. What do you want to hear from Simon Coveney this Tuesday?
Well, I suppose I'm going to divide my questions into two categories. There is the whole issue of the text, the deleting of the text, the how we got the text, the supposed hack that happened. And then there's the substantive issue itself, which is the appointment of Catherine Zamponi, how it was done, why it was done, what was going on there. Maybe taking them in that order. Mm. I was somewhat concerned this morning. There was an article in one of the newspapers that a third of cabinet used the Signal app. And then I also saw that Minister Coveney talks about deleting his text messages, etc. Obviously, he told the committee that. And I saw some other government ministers suggesting that they also delete the text. And yeah, I suppose you have the freedom of information aspect, which I would have thought it was Minister Coveney as the centre of this, but I think Minister Pascal Donoghue also talked about deleting texts.
Yeah.
Both are senior ministers for a decade now. You would think that they would be familiar with their freedom of information obligations. But the other thing it gave rise to was, and the idea of the hack, by the way, as well, I'm going to ask the minister, was this a targeted attempt to infiltrate the Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence, Simon Coveney, and then to masquerade as him to his opposite numbers? Or was it something we've probably all experienced, which is a random text that you click into a phishing attempt and maybe it spams some of your phone book with random messages?
Well,
there's a big difference between those.
Simon Coveney has said that there were other messages sent to other European foreign ministers as a result of whatever happened to his phone last week. And in that note, are you surprised that when the Taoiseach spoke to me on Wednesday that he didn't appear to have any knowledge of the phone of his Minister for Foreign Affairs and the Minister for Defence actually being compromised?
Yes. Well, that goes back to the whole point around cabinet security, actually, because if a third of the cabinet have Signal, do another third have WhatsApp, the other third have Facebook Messenger, you know, the rest of them are all on SMS, you would think in any corporate organisation there would be a standard handset, there would be standard technology, there would be standard update. The IT security people would actually even know what patch version they're on. Mm. I mean, if people follow, I tend to be a bit of a geek about American politics, when Barack Obama was elected in 2008, his famous BlackBerry was in his hand everywhere he went. The Secret Service took it from him. I said, I'm sorry, Obama, you can't use that anymore. Here's what you're going to use from now on. And we know everything that's on it, right down to the latest software patch. So, okay, why is the government going around with a few of them on WhatsApp, a few of them on Signal, a few of them on text? Is there not a standard apparatus? And this goes back to points I would have made over the last couple of years about our cybersecurity. You know, I think it's under-resourced, but do we have a common view? Do we have a common approach? There are freedom of information protocols. There are, I suppose, lobbying questions, the data protection laws, but also just basic security. It's not good enough. If the Minister for Foreign Affairs is doing one thing, the Minister for Finance is doing something else. Mm-hmm. Minister for Justice possibly doing some other thing, using different apps, using different technologies, using different protocols. Really, that's not good enough in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. So I would think a whole of government approach to cybersecurity needs to, and actually, ironically, the minister responsible for that is the same, Simon Coveney. So I'd be putting that to him as one of my questions on Tuesday.
I was just struck by the irony that the Minister for Defence might be someone who's deleting his messages as a result of a security issue. This is a controversy in various forms, which has now been continuing on for around 5 weeks. Are you concerned that your party leader, Taoiseach Micheál Martin, hasn't been able to try and conclusively draw a line under this or direct people to act in such a way as is necessary to do so?
No, absolutely I am. And look, I suppose the first thing I'd say about that, this is a Fine Gael mess, okay? There's no doubt about it. This was Simon Coveney made the appointment ham-fisted and haphazard or whatever it was. Leo Varadkar is in the thick of it. When Catherine Zamponi wasn't getting the job fast enough, it appears she went to Leo, invited him to the party, then he got back onto Simon Coveney. A few hours later, text comes back, the contract is drawn up. You know, it's all very murky. We also are given strong suspicion it was a Fine Gael cabinet minister that leaked the thing in the first place. Mm. So of five Fine Gael ministers currently attending cabinet, obviously Helen McAtee is on maternity leave, but there's five attending cabinet.
Yeah.
At least three are up to their neck in this, it would appear.
But is it not still an all-of-government problem that the Taoiseach needs to intervene forcefully to end?
Yes, no, it is. But there's been a tradition in coalition governments that each party deals with its internal affairs and opposes discipline, opposes sanction where necessary. Now, there's not a single Fianna Fáil near this. There was nobody in Meirion Gate. There was nobody involved in Catherine Zapponi. She wasn't part of the team as such. It's an issue dating back to the old government. But I think the teacher does need to stamp his authority on it. And I think he does need to say, do you know what, guys, sort this out. This is dragging the government down. Okay, you could give some leeway in August. It was holiday time, etc. People on leave. But say, look, really, we'll go back. Housing for All. Look, Minister for Housing is trying his best to get Housing for All out there. In fairness to Stephen Donnelly, he's done a superb job on the vaccines. Norma Foddy is getting the schools back open this week. You know, the Fianna Fáil ministers are engaged at the detail level, doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. The Fianna Gael fellows are texting and WhatsApp and signalling each other. And it's just, it's really unedifying, and I do think the T-shirt needs to nip it in the bud right now.
Okay, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, James Lawless, member of the Oireachtas Committee on Foreign Affairs. Thanks for your input this lunchtime. Good to catch up with you as ever.
On the Record
with Gavin Riley
on News Talk.